السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. The verse of the glorious Quran, which I had the privilege to recite before you, in it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اعلموا, know, understand, أنما الحياة الدنيا, that this worldly life is only lahwun, play, wala'ibun, an enjoyment, wazinatun, an beauty, watafakhurun baynakum, and having pride amongst yourselves, watakathurun fil amwali wal awlad, and competing with one another in the increase of wealth and children. In this part of this ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spelt out the different stages through which a human go through in this worldly life. And if a person was to ponder, he will realize that there is no other phase or no other stage that a human go through besides these phases and these stages. This again shows the accuracy of the glorious Quran, that the Quran has to be the kalam and the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because no other being, no other individual could have summarized our life in such a manner. So the first phase a person goes through is the phase which is known as la'ib. Prior to this, there is a phase in which we are not even worthy of being mentioned. هَلْ أَتَىٰ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on every human there is one stage and one phase in which he is not even worthy of being mentioned. And before we came into existence, nobody knew who we were. So if somebody is 30 years old, 31 years ago, 32 years ago, 33 years ago, nobody would have spoken about us. We were unknown. Thereafter comes the stage when our mothers give birth to us. And when our mothers give birth to us and we come into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah akhrajakum min mutuni ummahatikum لا تعلمون شيئا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you exit from the wombs of your mother in such a condition that you knew nothing at all. You knew nothing at all. Your level of knowledge was not even 0.1%. You didn't know how to do anything. You didn't know how to function in this world. And after coming into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who then gave you some very important tools with which you could then navigate in this world. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ. Allah ta'ala granted you the ability to listen. So a child comes into this world, after this child comes into this world, it's not necessary that this child will be able to listen. There are many who are born and they are deaf. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that if you are given the ability to listen after you are born, you shouldn't take this for granted. Rather, this is another separate gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gave you the ability to hear and listen. Wal-Absar, and Allah Ta'ala gave you the ability to see. Again, there will be certain individuals who are not bestowed with this gift to see, and they are unable to see, they are blind. Although, as a believer, whether you are given the ability to see or you are not given the ability to see, a believer should take both as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is given the ability to see, he should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by ensuring he only looks at those things which are permissible for him to look at. He should use this sight to do those things which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Looking at one's parents with love, he will get the reward of Hajj. Looking at the glorious Quran, looking at the Kaaba. So he should use his eyes to do those things which will please Allah Ta'ala. And he should refrain from looking at those things which are haram and impermissible. And if Allah Ta'ala has made a certain individual blind and he is unable to see, he should also think to himself that this is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now, the person who is able to see, he knows how difficult it is to refrain from the sins of the eyes. Every time he is out, he knows how difficult it is for him to control his eyes. Whereas the one who is blind, he does not need to exert this effort. And the one who is blind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ. When I test one of my servants by making him blind, then what do I give him in return? In return, I give him Jannah and Paradise. So this is the reward for that person who is unable to see, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised him Jannah and Paradise. So Allah Ta'ala says that we send you into this world in a condition that you know nothing at all. Your level of knowledge is completely zero. Then we give you the ability to listen. We give you the ability to see. And number three, wal-af'idah. The hearts. The heart and the mind is connected. So in here there is an indication towards the ability to understand. So a person sees things, a person hears, and a person understands. These are the three ways in which he is able to now acquire knowledge. By seeing, he begins to understand what is true and what is false, what is correct, what is incorrect. By listening, he understands what is correct, what is incorrect. And then he applies his mind, and by applying his mind, he comes to a conclusion that this is what I am supposed to do, and this is what I am supposed to refrain from. So Allah Ta'ala says, why did we give you these faculties? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. And the way to be grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is that once you have seen that this is what is correct, once you have heard that this is what is correct, once you have applied your mind and understood that this is what is correct, then you live your life according to this. And thereafter this child begins to grow up. Now when this child begins to grow up, the first phase the child goes through, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُ, is the phrase of la'ib. La'ib is that play in which the child only derives enjoyment, but there is no benefit to this play. So you see the young child playing with a toy. Many a times we see young children, they are playing something, their own games, and we don't understand what they are playing. We don't see what they are getting out of it. But they are so engrossed in their play. They are so engrossed in their play that if on one side you were to put £1 million, and you were to say to the child, leave this play of yours and this £1 million will be yours, they will not be interested in the £1 million. Because at that phase, £1 million doesn't mean anything to them. And this play is everything for them. This child has its toy car, which is worth maybe 50p, £1. And you say to the child, I'll give you £1 million if you give me your toy car. The child is not interested in £1 million. That toy car is everything. You take the toy car, the child will begin to cry. Over the toy car, the child will be willing to fight with its siblings, with its best friends. So the first phase we all go through is la'ib, that play in which there is no benefit whatsoever. And in that phase, every child is completely engrossed. You will see the child full attention in that play. This is why the parents have to shout and raise their voice so many times to try and gain the attention of the child. If it's food time, how many times will you have to say to the child that come and eat your food, your food is ready. Thereafter, this child, as the child begins to develop and grow, the child moves into a second phase, which is the phase of lahun. This is also play. But this play now is a play which has a benefit to it also. Even though this person normally will not play with the intention of the benefit. The person is still playing just to derive pleasure because he finds fun in it, enjoyment in it. But there is some sort of benefit, like sports. So you will see 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, they can stay and play football in the park the entire day. There will be many here who will probably say that from morning to evening in the summer holidays, the whole day we could play football and cricket. So these sports, they are also play, but there's also benefit. Physically, a person will benefit. And thereafter will come the third phase, wazinatun. The third phase a human goes through is the phase of zina, adoration, beautification. Now this person is immersed in thinking about and pondering about that, how does he look? His hair needs to be a certain way. His hat needs to be a certain way. His jubba needs to be a certain way. His trousers, his shoes. Some people will spend hours in front of the mirror. Even the mirror will want a break from them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when you stand in front of the mirror, You should say, Allahumma hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. So if we don't read this dua, then we should read this dua when we stand in front of the mirror, those who do. Normally it's the women who should be standing in front of the mirror, but we've moved into that generation that even the men like to spend many hours in front of the mirror. Allahumma hassanta khalqi, O Allah, you have beautified my external. But more important than your external is your internal. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is not going to ask you that how much did you beautify yourself as far as your external was concerned. It's all about the internal, your heart. Did you remove pride from this heart? Did you remove the love of this world from this heart? Did you remove jealousy from this heart? Did you remove enmity from this heart? And did you beautify this heart with love of the Akhirah, love of Allah, with humbleness, with generosity, with love for fellow Muslim brothers, with love for fellow human beings? So we are spending all our time in trying to beautify the external without worrying about the internal. So look at the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you stand in front of the mirror, you say, Allahumma hassanta khalqi, O Allah, you have beautified my external. Fahassin khuluqi, also beautify my internal. The Mu'arrikhun and the historians mention that there were five companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding whom it was said that when you would look at them, their features were very similar to the features of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you looked at them, you would think to yourself that he looks very similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from amongst them, one was Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu. So once, when Ja'far bin Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu entered the room, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that as far as Ja'far is concerned, he not only is similar to me from his external features, but he is also similar to me as far as his internal features are concerned. So what is the third phase a human goes through? Zina, beautification. This is all he is worried about now. That how do I look? You will see the youngsters, they already have three pairs of trainers, but they want to buy a fourth pair. They've got enough trousers, but they want another pair. They've got enough shirts, but they want another pair. This is what Khaja Azizul Hassan Majzub Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. He's very well known and accepted, worldwide accepted poetry. In those couplets he says, Yahi tujhko dun hai, rahu sab se bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. This has become your obsession now. You have become obsessed with this thought that I should be above everybody else. Hu zinat nirali, hu fashion nirala. My fashion and my style should be unique. I want to wear such trainers that nobody else has the same trainers in the entire school like my trainers. This is zinat. And after zinat, after adoration, the fourth phase, istafakhurum bainakum, that you begin to now have pride. You begin to think to yourself that I'm the best, and you try to remain the best. Even whilst driving, now he's driving, so when he's driving his car, he'll look at other cars with this thought that my car is the best. And if his car is not the best, he'll do anything to try and make sure he has the best car. When he comes to his friend circle, he needs to be part of those who are regarded as the most influential in society. So now gang culture comes into the equation. Now drugs comes into the equation. When he sees that I can't get enough money to remain at the top, if it means that he has to go through illegal sources, he will go down the illegal routes also. So pride, that there should be nobody like me and there is nobody like me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. A person in whose heart there is an even atom worth of pride, he will not enter paradise. The slightest amount of pride. One companion asked that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person likes to wear nice clothing and he likes to wear nice shoes, is this pride? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that al-kibru batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Pride is that when a person is unable to accept the truth and he looks down upon others. So there's a fine line here. A person wants to dress nicely, but if he is doing this with the correct intention, then this is permissible. Rather, this could be rewarding also, depending on his intention. But if the intention is that I want to dress nicely because I want to be a cut above the rest, I want to be better than everyone else, I want everyone to talk about me that look at how he is dressed, then this is pride. And this pride will destroy a person. بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ There was an individual, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a man, yamshi, he was walking, fi hullatin, and he had wore such a garment, fi hullatin tu'jibuhu, regarding which he himself was feeling that my garment is very nice. Sometimes a person dresses nicely and then when he's walking on the street, he's always thinking about what he's wearing. He keeps looking every few seconds at his clothes because he feels very good about himself. Murajjilun ra'sahu. He had combed his hair very finely, very neatly. Again, someone will go to the barbers and he'll ensure that he has the best of hairstyles. So again, we should ask ourselves that from an Islamic point of view, which haircuts are permissible and which are impermissible. Today, it has become so common to have those haircuts which are not permissible in Islam. Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil qaza'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited that a person cuts his hair in such a way that some part is shaven and some part is left. But how many people cut their hair in this manner? This is not permissible. So Murajjilun Ra'sahu, he had combed his hair very fine. He had worn very clothing which to him were looking very good. Yakhtalu fi mishyatihi, and thereafter he was walking on the street with all his pride, with all his boastfulness, with all his arrogance. But we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching us. That path on which you are walking with pride and arrogance is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this pride in this young man. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذْ خَسَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ Suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth to open up. And this person was taken inside the earth. وَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ And until the day of Qiyamah, he will continue to drown in the earth in this manner now. So this is the fourth phase, where a person goes through this phase of pride and arrogance. And finally, the fifth phase, وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Where a person now, all he is doing is counting his money and his children. He sits at home and he is counting, how much do I have in this account and how much do I have in this account? I have this many children, this many grandchildren, this many great-grandchildren. This is why if you ask the older people, how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren do you have? They don't have to think. Suddenly they will tell you. It's 40, 45, 50. Why? Because this is what they do at home. And they pride themselves over this. Now they have gone into this phase. That I have this many grandchildren and he only has this many. I have this many properties, he only has this many properties. I have this many millions in the bank. They don't think to themselves that in a few days I'm going in my grave. What's the point of keeping these millions in the bank? Let me invest it in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening up our minds. That look, these are the phases a human goes through if he does not open up his eyes and he does not think of the akhirah and in the hereafter. He is only going to remain in these phases, and the day his eyes close, there is going to be nothing but regret. Just as when a person goes through these five phases, when you move from phase 1 to phase 2 and you begin to think about phase 1, the teenager who is now in the phase of playing sports, when he thinks of phase 1, what does he think to himself? How foolish was I? I used to fight over my siblings over a toy car. Somebody was offering me £1 million, but I was not willing to accept £1 million because this toy car was so precious to me. And when he goes through in the third phase, the phase of zina, of beautification, now he thinks to himself that how foolish was I? I used to spend the whole day on the football field. And when he goes into phase 4, he begins to think to himself, how foolish was I? I used to spend my whole day in front of the mirror, making sure I look good. So in the same way, when you will go into the akhirah and the hereafter, and you will look at your cars in this world, you will look at the houses in this world, you will look at the money in the bank, you will think the same thing. How foolish was I? That look at this Jannah in front of me, and look at this Jahannam in front of me. And I spend my whole time over that small house and that small car. It'll just look to us like that toy car and that toy house. You know this big mansion that we made in this world, which costs thousands. When you will look at Jannah, this house in this world will look like that toy house. And your expensive car will look like a toy car. And you'll think to yourself that you are so foolish. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights these phases which a human goes through. And who can save himself from this? Only that person can save himself from this deception who keeps akhirah and the hereafter in his mind. When he will have hereafter in his mind, then he will not engross himself in these things. Just as an adult will not engross himself in toys. If we become mature from a deeni point of view, we will not engross ourselves in the toys of the houses and the cars of this world, of the wealth of this world. Rather, we will have a higher objective. We will be mature. We will be adults from a deeni point of view. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us this understanding. And He makes us mature. He makes us adults. And there was a time when people would go through these phases. So when they would go through phase 1 and move into phase 2, phase 1 would remain behind. Now, society has become so corrupted that even when a person is in adulthood, he is still engrossed in this play and enjoyment. Do you not see 40-year-old, 50-year-old people still engrossed on consoles, playing games? So this person, biologically he may be an adult, but when you look at it from a deeni point of view, he's still, there's no difference between him and a 5-year-old. And today we find this funny in this world, but imagine if you stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala says to you that you spent your entire life in playing games. When I sent you in the world for such a great objective and purpose, how are we going to answer Allah ta'ala? And imagine the regret we will find on that day. So let us take the akhirah seriously. Our deen is not dry, our deen is not boring. You are allowed to have fun. You are allowed to enjoy yourself. But there's limits for everything. And if a person does not realize the limits, then he will become so engrossed in the play and enjoyment and the deception of this world that he will never have time to think about the akhirah and the hereafter. So we should ask ourselves that in the 24 hours, how much time have I kept for the dunya and how much time have I kept for the akhirah? In the 7 days of the week, how many days are for dunya and how many days are for akhirah? If Monday to Friday you are busy working and the weekend is your day to relax, in this 48 hours of the weekend, how much time have you stipulated for your hereafter? That let me at least start with half an hour a week. That this half an hour is for my hereafter. I'm going to do something for my akhirah. Have we started with half an hour a week? Have we started with 10 minutes a week? And if we don't think the whole year will pass by, in 365 days, have we kept even one day for the akhirah? We make dua to Allah Ta'ala, He gives us all the ability. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Please stand up in your places and make the rows. Don't leave any empty gaps, please. Please move forward. Even those in the rooms at the back, please come forward and fill in all the rooms. Fill in the room in the front first. Move forward, please. Move forward.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا لا إله إلا الله
Brothers are reminded, tomorrow after Asr Salah, our weekly Darsi Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to make an effort to attend every Saturday after Asr Salah. Our Darsi Quran takes place in the English language. So brothers are requested to participate, and mothers and sisters can listen online from home. And on your way out, you are requested to donate generously towards the running cost of the masjid. The masjid are going through some financial difficulties, so there is a need for some donations. So if brothers can donate generously on their way out, inshallah, this will assist towards those needs. And just before the azan, if once again brothers can stand up and make the rows, because there are brothers waiting outside. So if we can please fill in all the empty gaps. So stand up one more time, please. If there's any empty gaps, please fill them in. Try to stand as close as possible together. Even if we can get a few brothers in, it will help, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبئ السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني، ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله، ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك، واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في فلسطين، اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصر على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. خي على الصلاة، خي على الصلاة، خي على الفلاح، خي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
سووا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل. الله أكبر. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى. فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى، ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا، والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟ وجوه يومئذ خاشعة، عاملة ناصبة، تصلى نارا حامية، تسقى من عين آنية، ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع، لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع، وجوه يومئذ ناعمة، لسعيها راضية، في جنة عالية، لا تسمع فيها لاغية، فيها عين جارية، فيها سرر مرفوعة، وأكواب موضوعة، ونمارق مصفوفة، وزرابي مبثوثة، أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت، فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر، إلا من تولى وكفر، فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر، إن إلينا إيابهم، ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.